Welcome back, doomsayers and naysayers and everything and everyone, and why? Why does it even matter anymore? It doesn't matter. Welcome back to the Pride of Detroit PODcast, where things still do matter. PrideofDetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter, your home for the Detroit Lions, who are now 1-3. And I'm throwing this can away here. It didn't make a sound because it hit my chair, so you don't get any clattering in the background. We're trying to be a professional podcast, not make background sounds. We will fail. Someone will jingle their keys. Maybe it'll be Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader at Detroit Online, who always seems to make background sounds because he gets utterly disgusted with us sometimes.
Sometimes it's putting it lightly, Chris. Sometimes it's putting it lightly.
All right. And back at it again, Ryan Matthews. Back is the motherfucking rock guy. At Ryan underscore POD. Big things are happening in the Pride of Detroit POD cast. We're working through some contract stuff, and we'll let you know what's going on soon enough. But just know that Ryan's name was misspelled, and he's not happy.
I'm sorry. I'm a disappointment to Jeremy, first and foremost, apparently. And then also, like, I just wish spell my name right for once on a contract.
I have to bleep that out. We haven't signed this stuff yet.
I don't care. Whatever. Bleep all you want.
You're going to lose this deal for us, Matthews.
One good. T? Probably be a good thing.
All we do is lose.
All no matter what.
Conspiracies abound on why we lose as we put our sights on Detroit Lions 24, Dallas Cowboys, America's team, Jerry Jones's team, Jerry Jones's American team 26. In a game that was back to form, I just want to clarify by this, and I'm not trying to toot my horn here, or I'm not trying to ride roughshod on y'all, but last week, and Jeremy remembers this very clearly, we were saying, don't get all excited about this Lions team, because we were, I mean, we didn't even say that. We just said 60-40, Patriots bad, 40% Lions good. Even that was like really generous towards the Lions. And we had everyone raising holy hell on us. Everyone was saying that we can't, like, there were a lot of people just coming in at us and saying, you know, you guys can't appreciate a good Lions team when you're looking at it. I just want to ask those people, hey, what do you think about Sunday? Huh? What do you think? Come on, let me get your attention right here, right here. What'd you think? Was that team what you saw on Sunday Night Football? Same team out there? Was it? We were right, weren't we? Yeah, we were, assholes. Like, okay, Lions were in a position to win this one. And they should have been in a position to win this one. But the weaknesses of this team were very apparent. And the reasons why they lost were very apparent. Who wants to say what that reason was? Anyone? Bueller?
Ezekiel Elliott, he certainly didn't help.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I think we all saw this coming into this matchup. This was the one thing that the Lions had to do, stop Ezekiel Elliott, because we saw how awful the Lions' run defense has been through 3 weeks. It wasn't horrible against the Patriots, but the Patriots barely run the ball. So I don't know how anyone came into this game thinking this wasn't a very strong possibility of happening. I certainly did, and I picked the Cowboys to win by 3 in this game. They won by 2. If since apparently we're in tooting our own horn zone right now.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't think this tarnishes the win last week. Honestly, I don't. I don't think this tips the scales now as like, oh, must be 80-20 then last week, because the Patriots came out and blew the Dolphins out of the water this week too. Each week is different. The Lions' performance this week was not great. It wasn't horrible. They were in the game. If you go by yards per play status, they actually outgained the Cowboys on an average per play basis. I thought it was an okay game for the. I mean, this is what's happening this early in the season at all times. People overreact when they win. People overreact when they lose. Truth is somewhere in the middle. This team is still very average, maybe a little bit below average right now. And you know, you just gotta ride with what happens every week. Yep. They're 1-3. Doesn't mean that the season's over. Doesn't mean that, you know, the Lions are going to bounce back and suddenly rattle off 12 wins either. But
we can run the table. You can run the table. It's just there for the taking, Jeremy. I can't see any reason why the Lions cannot run the table on the remainder of the schedule. Ryan, Ezekiel Elliott was not only the rushing leader for Dallas against the Detroit Lions with 152 yards, he was also the receiving leader for 88 yards. Dak Prescott, who, let's reiterate, has been no good at all through the start of this season, threw up 255 yards, averaging almost 10 yards and throwing for two touchdowns. And I don't know what you want to say about this backfield. I know we have Darius Slay and everything else, but I did not think the backfield had a good day out there.
Definitely could have had a better day than they had. Like you said, Chris, I mean, when Ezekiel Elliott, and to piggyback off what Jeremy was saying, there was one person that the Lions really need to key in on and stop in this game, and that's Ezekiel Elliott. However, they didn't at all, by any measure. Like, he accumulated so many yards from scrimmage. I mean, he had 88 receiving yards. As a runner, I think he had like 152 yards. So, I mean,
he was their entire offense pretty much. Like, Cole Beasley had some amazing catches that where he was just obliterating Agnew. Like, Agnew couldn't keep up with Cole Beasley at all. More like Cold Beastly. I don't know. But Elliott was a problem, and it was Elliott who sealed the game, you know, right over the heads of the defensive backs. Elliott catches that deep pass to set up for the last second field goal.
Yeah. And it wasn't something like 152 rushing yards on, you know, one big run. You know, Elliott had a long of 41, but I mean, he had three rushes that were for 10 plus yards. He had seven first downs in the game. He ran for 6.1 yards per carry. I mean, this was something where the Lions, you know, they really tried to beef up front their defensive line. I mean, A'shaun Robinson, they brought Lee off the practice squad. I mean, they did what they could to try to get some anchors in the middle of their defense. And it's so clear that they're lacking at least one or two guys. The defensive line, who knows how much it has to do with Ansa being out. I don't think that Ansa really has a huge difference in this game, not a big enough difference to really change the outcome, I think, of this game. Just because I think, you know, Zeke and the Cowboys offense was that good. So it's, they failed. And the one thing they needed to do, and that was stop Ezekiel Elliott.
And it's interesting. It's hard for me to find exactly where things went wrong. I mean, the first instinct is to always blame coaching. Like, if you have one guy to stop, just stop him. Like, it's obviously a lot tougher than that, though. And you mentioned a good point that the Lions beefed up in this game. They clearly changed their personnel. They went three linebacker a lot. Christian Jones played a lot in this game. A'shaun Robinson played a lot more. Basically, everyone on the defensive line played more outside of Aquara, and he went from like 83 snaps to 81. So 83%, I should say, not 83 total snaps. But anyways, I think to me, this just comes down to personnel. The Lions just don't have a good enough front seven to deal with a physical team like the Cowboys, and it was a huge mismatch. And A'shaun Robinson, I thought, actually played pretty well in this game, but just about everyone else on that offense, on that defensive line, did. Sylvester Williams, not so good.
That was a good matchup for A'shaun. Like, we've been talking about, you know, how to use A'shaun in this new style, but like, what's A'shaun's strength? This is a run stuffer. It's what he does. He's the only one, really.
Yeah, they need another one, because as good as Ricky Jean-Francois was in training camp in the preseason, he's been invisible in the regular season. And I did a little breakdown about how bad the Lions run defense was back in week two. And he was one of the main culprits, as someone who wasn't two gapping correctly. He was overcommitting to one or couldn't shed a block. And then we all know the problems with the second level, the linebackers. Their run defense has been awful. And so I think it's a personnel issue, which obviously goes back to management. It obviously goes back to Bob Quinn. I think we complimented Bob Quinn a little bit last week. We all knew the front seven was going through some issues, and it continually is going through some issues, and they didn't do enough in the offseason to overcorrect it. And, you know, the whatever coming home to roost, whatever that, I'm not Southern enough to know what that idiom is, but the hens are coming home.
Chickens
to
coming so, home to roost.
Chickens. Yep, there we go. Chickens coming home to roost.
Yep, Carolina boys got to step in here.
Thank you.
So we spent a lot of time talking about the defense, though. I mean, because that's definitely where it let it down. So, like, we should give some time to the offense. And I think next segment, we're going to talk some positives. And I've got one man's name circled for positives. But, like, I mean, before we get into that, though, like, I mean, it just feels like this game, though, is kind of going back to what we saw through the four games. The closest we've seen to the Lions, like, consistently is what we see out of game two against the 49ers and what we've seen out of the Cowboys. It just feels like the Jets game and the Patriots games are both crazy aberrations right now.
Yeah, and those two games that you mentioned, the Niners and this one against the Cowboys, they very much resembled games from last year, right? Where the Lions got off to a slow start. The offense probably should have put up more points early than they did. They fall behind because the defense isn't very good. And then the offense has this big rallying cry at the end. And it's just a coin flip short. From there. It's a coin flip from there. They either win or they don't. And the Lions are 0-2 in those games so far now, but they'll probably win a couple like that this year too.
So what's the faults you can find in the offense from this game, though? Like, we all know about the slow starts. Like, once again, Jim Bob Cooter's name is back out there for people calling for the head. So, but like, what were the structural problems you saw today? Definitely the run was not as well established. Once again, the team rushed for under 100 yards. Kerryon Johnson only had 55. And a lot of that came from a 32-yard run he had. Not a lot of production from everyone else. So what did you see out there?
I think it may have been a little bit of a product of just the direction that the game took. So, I mean, the Lions, they didn't have a great opportunity to necessarily run the ball as much as, you know, it was clearly part of a game plan, you know, in week three against the Patriots. But I mean, only 20 rushing attempts and only getting the ball to Kerryon Johnson, you know, 9 times, as a rusher and then once as a receiver, like getting him 10 touches is not enough for this offense. I think if this offense is operating at its peak, I think we talked about it last week, but this is a guy that should be getting at least like anywhere from like 15 to 20 touches, whether it's through the air or on the ground, like per week. And I know that, I don't think that that's wild to say, even though you have guys like Tate and Galladay and Jones Jr. like on the field, you just have to consider that the Lions, they don't have anything at tight end. So, right. I mean, I think that the ball distribution in terms of the guys that they're getting the ball to on offense, it just needs to be clearly more focused on a guy who is clearly one of the better players on the offense, and that's Kerryon Johnson. So I think that was a shortcoming.
Is it a scheme problem? Is it a scheme problem in that, like, they want to run the ball, but they seem to panic when they get down and then they just start throwing a lot more? They don't trust their run game to really get them back in the game?
Jeremy, I want you to get into it, but I think the short answer is no, because Jim Bob Cooter, he oftentimes will take Theo Riddick and make a square peg fit a round hole, and he'll force feed Theo Riddick pass plays and things like that. So I don't know why that can't be done with Kerryon Johnson instead.
Yeah, I have a lot of takes here, and I threw some of them on the site today on Monday about the whole Kerryon Johnson isn't getting enough touches things and LeGarrette Blount's getting too much and all that sort of stuff. I want to be very clear here. The Lions' run game was not successful when they tried it in this game. And I know everyone's going to point to Kerryon Johnson at 6.1 yards per carry, and the team was a total had 4.8 yards per carry, 96 yards, which isn't a bad day statistically. But we want to talk. I put out a nice article about the Lions' performance against the Patriots, and specifically Kerryon Johnson's performance. One of the best things about that performance was that he didn't have a lot of negative plays. I believe he only had one play that was stopped for 1 yard or shorter. Out of 16 carries in this game, he was held to 1 yard or fewer, I believe, in 4 out of his 9 carries. So that's putting the Lions behind on the down and distance very early and forcing them to throw the ball. And so when the Lions went away from Kerryon Johnson, it was out of necessity. And part of that necessity was TJ Lang getting injured in the first quarter, which is something I think we definitely need to address here, because
yeah, we haven't talked about that yet. And there's one other article from this game we haven't talked about. So go on.
But I mean, that changes the entire dynamic of the game. The Lions basically weren't successful on the ground the rest of the way. Kerryon Johnson had his touchdown run, which was admittedly very good. But outside of that, I think his longest run was 5 yards. He was just not running the ball well. And I'm not sure where these touches are coming from, because when they were passing the ball, they were very efficient. Stafford threw 6 incompletions all day, 80% completion percentage, 10.2 yards per attempt, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Matthew Stafford had a top 5 game in his career. So do you want to take those?
Really?
Yeah. In terms of yards per attempt, in terms of passer rating, in terms of completion percentage, all those were in the top 5 in his career.
Yeah, don't you still feel like he left meat on the bone in this game?
Absolutely. Early in the game, I thought he was inaccurate.
Let's talk about
in my ranking. But let me just get to my overall point, is that I'm not sure where these touches are coming from. Do you want him to take him from LeGarrette Blount? Okay, maybe, but what, take 4 out of his carries? So now Kerryon has 13 carries and LeGarrette Blount has 3. Is that going to change the game much? I don't think so. And when Kerryon Johnson, or when LeGarrette Blount was taking those runs, that's when Kerryon Johnson was struggling the most. And I'm not here going to tell you that Kerryon Johnson would have gotten fewer yards than LeGarrette Blount in those carries, but we're talking about 4, maybe 5 touches more if he takes all of LeGarrette Blount's carries. And I don't think that's enough to change the game, because Dallas was shutting down the run. Dallas has a good defensive front. Lions running game wasn't working, so I'm not that concerned.
Super need to move on from this. Super need. We'll leave it there at that. Just the last note, you mentioned like the weirdness of Stafford having that game. The NFL, the ESPN put out the stat, like Lions' worst red zone offense right now. 33% touchdown chance when they enter the red zone. Okay, real quick. TJ Lang, concussed brain injury, as our friend Dave Burkett likes to say. Was it Dave Burkett? Yeah. And I mean, that's what it is. That hurts the line. Absolutely. Any words on that?
I mean, the offensive line probably had their worst game of the season in this game. It wasn't horrible, but Stafford sacked 3 times. He'd only been sacked 3 times in the prior 3 games combined. Still played a hell of a game. But yeah, it changed the rest of the game, because Kenny Wiggins isn't good.
And the last point we have to make, and we have to talk about it, Jeremy, because people would yell at us if we don't. The referees. Nothing happened. Bad calls happened. The end.
Pretty much. Sorry.
I'm sorry, folks. You want us to talk about how the referees PA is in there for the fight for, like, I don't know, Jerry Jones, that old codger. I don't know. No, I'm not buying on this one. I'll buy it during that playoff game. Not on, like, because those calls have been happening all around the league right now. Those like ticky tack, weird late hit calls that are not really late hits. And apparently people don't understand how momentum works. I don't know. Ryan, what did you think? You've got people in your family who are conspiracy minded on this.
Including myself, but not on this. Not at all. I mean, We talk about it ad nauseum on the podcast and in the Slack and everything, and it's just a bias thing that's inherent in being a sports fan.
It's just infuriating though, because it's just cheerled by so many people. There is a long history though of like calls that go against the Lions. It happens because it happens in all NFL teams, and yet there are some vicious cheerleaders on Twitter and on social media who are just looking for any chance to say this is a conspiracy against the NFL, because they just can't take the idea that this is just a bad team and it's going to remain a bad team for a while.
Don't be screenshot holding call guy. Oh, this isn't holding at Dean Blandino. Don't be that guy. Yeah.
I mean, you can. It's a free country.
Sure. But just, you can be the biggest asshole in the world, but
well, it's like those people are also always counting the holes. It's like, look, you've only called holding once against the Dallas Cowboys. Well, maybe they're just more disciplined guys.
Dude, it's not even like a sports thing though. When I think about it even more so, it's just like a life skills problem that people have. Like, people are so myopic and so short-sighted and can't see past the end of their own nose and lack such self-awareness and understanding how things work in the grand scheme of things that people think everything bad is just happening to themselves. Like, are you 14? Like,
it's a trope now. That's the problem. It's a trope now, and everyone can go back and talk about the long history, and it just adds on to the list. I mean, there's so many other teams that could claim bias. I mean, just in this week alone, too, Cleveland just lost a game because someone reviewed a and move the ball. Yeah.
A spot ball.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, okay. What do you want? Guess what? Dallas isn't immune from this stuff too. Talk about Dez Bryant and catching things kind of like we do Calvin Johnson. But you guys didn't want to give any sympathy to that because you were so mad with your own, you know, hatreds or whatever. I don't know.
This turned into a mini rage corner. I kind of like it.
I should have played the music. I should have. We have nothing for... We're really running low on stuff for segment three. We're going to kind of take another look around another wacky week in the NFL. But first, when we come back, I think we should turn to some of the positives in here, including the name of one man who needs to be paid. Pay that man. He is funny. Pride of Detroit, PODcast. POD stands for Pride of Detroit. It's the first three letters of podcast. That's why we call it that. I distinctly remember a PODcast we did before the year talking about Golden Tate's contract. And I know people are going to want to try to be rational about it or try to micromanage it or try to talk about, you know, age is the ultimate victor or anything like that, or, you know, talk about these ethereal ideas of getting younger or finding that unknown quantity just waiting in the sky somewhere. Golden Tate showed you why he's still probably like upper echelon wideout receiver in the National Football League. He, to me, is like the biggest bright spot in the Cowboys game.
No question. No question at all. And he had me rethinking my wide receiver list from our list cast back for not having him on there. Ryan, did you have him on there? Someone had him, didn't he?
No, I don't think I put Golden Tate.
I didn't have him. I don't think I had him on mine.
I thought someone may have had him, but maybe not. But either way, he was huge in this game. He's the reason the Lions were still in it, outside of Matthew Stafford as well. But I mean, just what that running catch he had was so much like the one he had in New Orleans last year, where he just stops on a dime and then just busted outside and somehow beats the safety at 31 years old. Dude is like crazy fast, crazy sneaky. He'll turn a normal like 7 yard out into a 50 yard touchdown. Just you're not like you're seeing it, and as you're seeing it happen, you're like, oh, okay, this is gonna be a nice like 15 yard gain. He's like, what? He's in the end zone? He's clowning the guys 5 yards before crossing the end zone.
Yeah, people were trying to. People were trying to tut-tut on him for doing that, too. It's like, oh, don't showboat once you get in the end zone. It's like, no, listen, Golden Tate, we've talked with Golden Tate before. His mind shuts off during a football game. You just let him do what he wants.
By the way, Ryan,
you can't tell him otherwise.
You did really have him number 10, by the way, Ryan.
I did?
Yep, you did.
Why would I do that?
Because of what we just saw.
Because of what you just saw. You know what? Can we? All right. So Golden Tate, incredibly good this game, right? Like the brightest spot of the offense, which is usually kind of unforeseen with this offense, right? Because if this offense is really clicking, it's Matthew Stafford, right? Like it just seems like this team always begins and ends with him. So,
yeah,
it seemed like a lot of Lions fans in true Lions fans fashion after, you know, Detroit drops the game on a last second field goal. People want to talk about trading Golden Tate.
Are you throwing shade at one of our editors right now?
I mean, I might be. I think it's dumb.
Are you going to get named names, or are you just going to talk about what he likes to have at Thanksgiving?
Let's just say he's pissing on his fruit salad.
Here's the thing. Like, unless you're getting at least a second-round pick from somebody, why are you trading him? Because you're going to get a third-round pick compensation, right? Like, most likely.
But I mean, like the reason I bring it up too is because I was saying on Twitter too, I'm like, you know, I was sarcastic saying there's some people out there who don't want to pay Golden Tate more money to catch footballs. But that's alluding to a previous conversation we had on here where we were talking about this on whether or not, you know, Golden Tate, you mentioned his age there, Jeremy. He's now, he's 30, I believe. He's going to get in that upper echelon. This is his ninth year in the NFL. And like, yeah, usually you like, the way the NFL is going, guys above 30 are starting to not see contracts, which is a problem in itself with the labor structure right now, but that's a different question. But just on a value basis, like, we were arguing against, you know, Golden Tate getting re-signed or signing him to an extension in Detroit. And I'm just against that now. I'm against that. I want him signed for just a few more years. I don't know what it's going to take, but like, this was probably the sneakiest signing back when, you know, Lions picked him up from Seattle.
Yeah.
It's paid off so well.
It has. Both him and Marvin Jones were excellent signings, one by Martin Mayhew, one by Bob Quinn. But he's putting the Lions in a tough situation because they don't have a ton invested in the wide receiver position right now, so I think they could afford to stick him on there. But Golden Tate's going to be asking for a lot, and rightfully so. And I think the number that I circled in the offseason was 3 years, $33 million or something like that. I don't know if that's going to be enough. I don't know if Tate wants more than that. I don't know if Tate would pull an Earl Thomas, and if he gets injured, just flip off the line sideline if they offered him something like that. But, I mean, he's certainly proving his worth time and time again. And he's just been so instrumental to this offense for the past 3-4 years. And,
I think that's it, that he is a piece of stability, because as we've seen over the last 3-4 seasons, the Lions keep losing like a piece and piece there and a piece here, a piece over there from this receiver core. You know, first is Calvin Johnson. You know, they sign Anquan Boldin to that 1 year deal, and he is like so valuable. I think he's the reason Lions win so much in 2016, because he's such a good fit with what the Lions were doing that year in the short passing game. And yeah, we've talked about the tight end position. It's an abomination now. Eric Ebron, by the way, caught another touchdown in Indianapolis. So it just like I'm just at this point as a fan, I don't want to see another piece of, I don't care how good Kenny Golladay might be, I don't want to see another piece of this receiving core fall off just in the name of, well, we don't want to pay him. And I know that's, again, an overreaction here as we sit here after a big, giant Golden Tate game, the one bright spot from Sunday, but that's just where I'm at right now, emotionally.
It's fine to feel that way. Look at the snap counts from this game. All right. And I mean, Kenny Golladay had the most snaps of any wide receiver on the field, which is pretty telling. Like, this coaching staff has a lot of faith in him. And I mean, of the top three receivers, Golden Tate had 42 snaps. So he had the fewest out of, you know, Golladay and Marvin Jones. And I mean, if there is a guy who you can come closest to replicating his skill set, I think in the draft, it's finding a guy like in the slot like Tate. And I'm not trying to say it's going to be easy to replace exactly what he does, because he is the yak king. Like, he is very good at what he does. I would love to see him stay around, but at the same time, it's just going to be hard justifying it for the kind of cash that he's going to get and the compensation pick that you're going to be able to get in return for him.
That's useless to me, though, because like, what have the Lions done with the cash they get by saving money on whoever they cut? They just
signed Marvin Jones.
Besides Marvin Jones, like, since Marvin Jones,
Devon Kennard, baby, 4 sacks. Let's go.
Rick Wagner, TJ Lang. I mean, I'm not helping my case at this point, but like,
TJ Lang's probably not a good.
But really, I mean, like, if you want to look at the picks that Bob Quinn has hit on, it's been the later round picks. I mean, third round picks and such, like Kenny Golladay and Graham Glasgow and those guys. I mean, Chris, like, if you could keep Golden Tate here on a reasonable contract because he's 30 and he takes a deal that's something like 3 years, $30 million or something of the like, go ahead, do it. I'm just saying,
age ain't really a thing right now. Like, Frank Gore right now is like dominating a Miami. I don't get it. I don't understand it, but it's happening there. So like, he wants 3 more years. I'm fine with it. And like, I don't know, maybe I'm just a dunce and maybe that just might be it. Or maybe I just don't really care for the calculators and talking about what may or may not be in the draft, because guess what? We whiff a lot in the draft, and I'm tired of seeing shit whiff.
The one thing that kind of has me leaning in your direction, Chris, is also his availability. Let's not forget that Golden Tate has not missed a game since he's been with the Lions. And so he's stayed fairly healthy. He's had little nicks and bruises here and there, and he was even on the injury report this week. But this dude has been crazy available, and that's something that the Lions have been missing out of their playmakers. I mean, just look at Jared Davis or Ezekiel Ansah or TJ Lang. Some of their better players just aren't being available every week. Darius Slay's kind of going through some stuff too. He's mostly been playing, but you know, they say your biggest ability is your availability, and Golden Tate has been just about consistently good in every aspect of both availability and production.
All right. Do we have anyone else from this game we want to talk about as far as like positives? And I guess we can just throw Stafford out there right now. But I mean,
yeah, I mentioned before the Stafford top five game in his career, arguably. So I'm going to flip over to the defensive side of the ball. And I think we've mentioned him a couple times before, but Deshaun Hand is really starting to earn his snaps. I mean, he's obviously getting a big chunk of snaps now. He almost won the game for the Lions on Sunday. He had a strip sack on the final drive of the game. If that ball bounces towards a Lions defensive lineman, the Lions win that game. And the Lions aren't getting any sort of other pressure from their interior, and sometimes Hand is on the outside, sometimes he's on the interior. But outside of that, I thought Deshaun had a pretty fine game, and he continues to be the most consistent defensive lineman on the team. And that's, I mean, I don't know if that says more about Deshaun Hand or more about the rest of the guys, but fourth round rookie is out playing basically everyone on the line right now.
Another bright spot. You ready? Jared Davis wasn't terrible.
Well,
wasn't terrible.
To be fair, you did not watch the last drive of the game, and the game deciding play was kind of his fault. He was put in the position where he had to guard Ezekiel Elliott on essentially a wheel route.
Outside of that, not terrible.
You're right. No, you are right though. And even that play, his coverage wasn't horrible, and it took a pretty perfect pass from Dak Prescott for him to lay it in there. But yeah, I thought this was Jared Davis's best game.
All right, with that, I think we're going to put a pin in that right there. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, once again, we're going to look around the NFL because a lot has been going on. And just once again, we were talking about last week, everything kind of went right for the Lions to keep moving on up in the NFC North. This week, not so much. We're going to take a look at it when we come back. Pride of Detroit, PODcast. All right, this has been another weird week, the NFL. Weird to start with because Thursday Night Football was a really good game.
Yeah. Which has kind of been a trend so far this year. Like, most Thursday Night games have been pretty good so far.
It feels like a Fox effect. It immediately went to Fox, and we saw Cleveland win, and then we've seen the Rams-Vikings, and like, yeah, man.
I love it.
And shout out to Amazon, who's live streaming the games and gives you alternate announcer
Don't shout
options.
Out Amazon.
No, they give out alternate announcing pairings so that we don't.
Cool,
have to
and it's a dystopian blood. Corporation. No, do not shout them out.
But they also did their first full women announcing cast. I actually didn't listen to it because I mostly listen to football with no audio.
Ooh, people are peeing in bottles in warehouses, man. Anyway, off my shtick. No, if we're off my shtick, Miami, I think we saw that coming. So, like, what do we make now of the Patriots? Since we were talking about what do we make now of the Lions after looking at their singular conquest over New England.
Same thing as always, man. Like, just give them a minute to figure things out, and they're going to be fine. New England's going to win the AFC East by at least two games. Everyone needs to chill out in Boston, but I don't care if they do or don't because they're horrible people. But yeah, the Patriots are going to be fine. And we'll go look back on that win and be like, wow, that was a really good win, but Patriots weren't good at the beginning of the season. They usually aren't good at the regular season, which is why I actually hold out a little hope for the Lions still. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to win the division, but I do think the Lions are eventually going to figure stuff out on defense and look a lot better than they are currently.
Yeah, man, we just absorb the Patriot way through osmosis. That's how it works.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. NFC North, though. I want to focus on that now that we got the Patriots.
Talk about Trubisky. Don't make me talk about Trubisky.
Let's save Trubisky for the end. Let's just put it this way. The Bears are still on top of the NFC North, and now they have like a game in hand, like a half a Actually, I don't even know how to say, I can't even say they've got a game in hand because Green Bay's got that bizarre tie. So, like, that's what it is. You've got 3-1 Bears, 2-1-1, 1-2-1, and 1-3-0 is like how the NFC North tracks down. And yeah, the Vikings, they went up against a Rams squad and were about a few, they were a little short. They were kind of getting bullied around for most of the game, but they got back in it. Still lose, but I mean, you kind of expect to lose that game when you're going to the Coliseum to play the Rams, who, I mean, talk about turning around a fan base to get them to come out there, but that happens. So the Vikings lose that, fine, whatever.
Real quick, it's shocking to see the Vikings defense just get torn apart like this, right? Like, for the past 3 years, this has been one of the best defenses in the league, and they got torn apart by Jared Goff. And credit to Jared Goff, because he was outstanding in that game.
I was going to say, like, Todd Gurley was barely a part of this on the ground. This was all about Jared Goff and Cooper Kupp and Brandon Cooks.
Gurley also had 17 for 83, so it's not like he had a bad game, average almost five yards a carry.
But he's not the reason they win on offense, is what I'm saying.
Right. I'm just saying, surprising to see the Vikings now give up 38 points. And, you know, they give 29 to the Packers, 27 to the Bills, and 16 to the Niners. This is not the Vikings defense that we're accustomed to seeing.
465 yards from Jared Goff to his receivers. And then Vikings backfield.
Yeah, their secondary is beat up right now. Trey Wayne's left that game, I think, with a concussion. And I know Marvin Jones' son is battling through some injuries as well. So this Vikings defense might not get better right away. And obviously, Everson Griffin's going through some things that I don't want to make light of. They're just missing a lot of pieces right now, or the pieces aren't performing up to par. I mean, it's just weird to see. It's shocking to see.
Before I move on to the rest of the NFC North, Ryan, are the Rams the favorite in the NFC?
Hard to make a case for why they're not. I mean, with the way that their offense is playing, we talked about it a little bit last week on the podcast, though, you know, Aqib Talib getting put on IR, that might be problematic. It wasn't a problem for him on Thursday, though. So
They already have the NFL's highest point differential at plus 73. Through four games. Like, this is more than just their offense too. Their defense is insanely scary. Like, everything about this team just looks like they're going to at least get to the conference championship.
And speaking of scary, it's really scary when Aaron Donald has found a way to not get flagged for unnecessary roughness, because instead of tackling the quarterbacks, he just picks them up and throws them like sacks of potatoes.
That's how you
he's
do
like,
it.
He's flag me for that. Flag me for throwing Kirk Cousins.
Like a lawn dart.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Aaron Donald is everything. We must protect him at all costs.
Packers blank the Bills. Again, expected. We all kind of expect the Bills to come back down to earth. I don't expect them to get blanked, I guess. But, I mean, when you go to Lambeau, you're just going to have a bad time.
Yeah, and it wasn't like Vontae Davis was going to be walking through that door either, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll admit I didn't watch any of this game. I had no interest in it.
Would you, though? Like, yeah, it's the Packers and Bills. Like, you
Josh
know how
Allen
it's going to go.
Josh Allen isn't good. I wasn't fooled by last week into thinking that Josh Allen was good. He's not. Sorry. Yeah. And, yeah, the Packers should have won that game, and they did.
Now that leads us to the one in the NFC North. We're going to talk about other teams in the NFC, Jeremy, but we've got to get through this. You can't ignore it now. Chicago is 3-1. Mitchell Trubisky just threw, which I'm going to use his full name this time. I'm not going to call him Mitch. Mitchell Trubisky threw for 354 yards and 6 touchdowns on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You want to play our game? How much of this is on the Bucs just sucking ass?
100%. Please let it be.
Do we need to bring Rob Zaglinski in here?
Why couldn't Fitzmagic just last one more week?
Because good things aren't allowed to happen. Ryan, what's your take on this crap?
It's fool's gold, man. Whatever. I still don't believe in Trubisky. I mean, throws for a bunch of touchdowns against, you know, I thought what was really illuminating was Jason Pierre-Paul's comments after the game, and he's talking about how just the entire team didn't show up and that he had never been a part of something where, like, it was just seemingly so apparent that everybody did not show up to play on Sunday, and he said it was, like, the worst game that he's ever, like, seen from a team that he's been a part of in his entire career. So, the Bucks aren't good. Everybody kind of thought they might have been, but they're actually not. So I'm not going to put too much stock into Mitch Trubisky having some kind of career day against a Buccaneers defense that isn't good.
Like, I mean, at least when we're talking about Goff and Patrick Mahomes, who's playing, we're recording this on Monday, waiting for the Monday Night Football game to kick off.
We got
to
hurry up.
Yep. We're almost home, man. We've at least seen more than one game out of them, I should say. This is like Mitchell Trubisky's first game. And again, he did it against a dysfunctional Buccaneers team.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the Buccaneers have been playing great defense anyways. Like, I mean, go back to week one when they played the Saints. It was a flipping shootout. I mean, last week the Steelers hung a bunch of points on them too. So, I mean, whatever.
Like, how many games are you going to be able to survive with Tariq Cohen as your receiving top threat?
Ooh, I don't know about that.
I like Tariq Cohen.
I do too. I really wanted him to.
I think Matt Nagy's going to utilize him pretty well. I don't know. I don't want to talk about it.
Speaking about that, fine. Here's how we do this. Speaking of another dysfunctional mess, but somehow getting a win on the board, the Oakland Raiders.
Unfair, dude. They entirely did not deserve that. I wanted them to lose every game this year. I was going to be so upset. Like, the storylines they'd created themselves. You know, John Gruden hasn't won in X amount of days, and he finally pulls it off against a Browns team that just loves getting kicked in the balls. Like, goodness gracious this year, man.
It's just been ball busting the rest of the way.
Have they had any stroke of luck? Like, I mean, besides Nick Chubb, who was literally maybe the most efficient player yesterday in NFL history. I mean,
three carries, 105 yards, and 2 touchdowns. How's that possible?
If you
want to complain about Kerryon Johnson not getting enough carries, this dude averaged 35 yards per carry.
I know, and this is one of the things too where Jeremy can't be like, "Yeah, take away 2 of those runs."
It's like, those are all his runs.
Because those are all his runs. So, I mean, poor Brown. Like, you know what? I gave up my Browns fandom, but I want to jump back on board so bad, but it's too in vogue to do that now. So I'm just going to continue being the Patty Mahomes fan that I was before all of you listeners were.
Yeah, baby.
Chris and I want to say real quick, Chris and I in a Philadelphia hotel were bonding over Patty Mahomes when he was drafted. So,
dude,
I knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, one of my friends used to run the SB Nation Texas Tech Red Raiders blog, and he would fill my ear for so many years about Patty Mahomes playing at Texas Tech and everything else. And like, I just finally was like, all right, fine. We'll see what happens. You know, Brett Favre style gunslinger. Cool. Let's just see how well it goes.
Jeremy, I want to ask you a question and then you can get into what you want to talk about. But if the Lions continue playing bad, can we just become a Patrick Mahomes fan site?
Nope.
All right. Fair enough.
Trade everything for Patrick Mahomes.
Do it.
Two things I want to say. Marshawn Lynch is still the truth and maybe the most fun player to watch in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
2, Darren Fells' touchdown celebration was the best thing I saw all week. I don't even like Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, the fusion dance.
The fusion dance was amazing with him and Njoku.
God, imagine those two combining too. Just, whoa.
I know, especially, I think bonus points too, because they were both tight ends.
For sure.
Tight
end.
Exactly. Both tight ends with differing skill sets, and then they pulled off the fusion dance perfectly. Oh, I miss you. Miss you, Darren.
Miss you. So your last winless team in the NFL is the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
They deserve it for not closing the deal against the Bears last week, so I wish nothing but the worst for Josh.
Didn't close the deal here against the Seattle Seahawks either. So
David Johnson, only 3.2 yards per carry, not a top five running back.
It makes my USC heart happy to see Rosen out there struggling. But go ahead, Ryan. You want to do something here.
I can't do what I want to do because Jeremy's not within like arm's reach. So
wow.
Mailbag time?
Yeah, you know what? I was looking for any more highlights from the weekend, but I think that's about it. Let's take a quick break and let's just do the mailbag. Let's just do it. One more thing before we get out of here. Please don't do that to your microphone. We can hear that.
Right.
Thank you. Do the Eagles suck?
Hell yeah, they do, baby!
We'll be right back.
Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Mail time. Hashtag AskPOD. As always, get your questions in. Get them in early. Get them in often. We will try to read as many as we can. Jeremy, we always start with reviews. Do we have any new reviews?
My threat of singing Shakira worked fantastically.
Shakira, Shakira.
We got 4 new reviews.
We got a backlog.
So we're going to do 2 right now. First one comes from Tom Salad, 5 stars. Rage Mode Unlocked is his title. Despite 5 stars, not really a nice review. But either way, not much charisma. Not great at playing off each other's humor. Long, awkward pauses. But if you give me that nerd rage at the end about building teams all the time, I will listen to every episode. I was crying at that kid screaming through his retainer-laden teeth while spewing spit all over his computer screen. Is he talking about me?
Jeremy doesn't have a retainer. He does spit, though.
I do spit. I'm like a llama that way. Second review comes from Stefan Dracula. 5 stars, says, I demand more Jeremy Shakira, maybe just when the Lions win. You know what? I'm in.
I'm not.
Africa and Jeremy Shakira, that is the new Pride of Detroit tradition on Victory Mondays.
Ryan, you're the tiebreaker here. What say you?
Just do whatever you want to do.
Okay.
Patty Mahomes is almost on.
Yeah, I know. We're going to get through the mailbag so you can get to Patty Mahomes. You've still got another half hour or so. All right, let me open up the mailbag, and we will start with a couple of food questions, just to take the bile of this game off our lips. We'll start with Joseph R. Sweeney. Fall is here, so pumpkin spice or apple cider?
I like them both, but man, do I love apple cider more than most things in the world.
Yeah, apple cider is my answer.
Oh, God. I'll eat it. I'll drink it cold. I'll drink it hot. I'll drink it with some alcohol in there. I'll drink it. I'll make popsicles out of it and lick those up. Apple cider is so friggin' good.
Okay.
It's adult apple juice, and I love it.
Apple cider, very good. There's a local orchard in Holly, Michigan, Deals Orchard. I'm sure they probably do it in other places, but when it's nice and warm, still on those fall afternoons on the weekend, they do a nice little cider slushy, but dude, get the caramel added in it too. You get caramel drizzle and a cider slushy, and it's heaven on wheels, man.
It's almost time of the year again for like caramel apples, apple toffee as well. Shout out to McQueen's Orchard in Toledo, since we're doing orchards. Next food question from Why Not the Lions. Do you prefer pancakes or waffles? Also, do you always put syrup on top, or have you ever put peanut butter? Never had peanut butter, and I prefer pancakes.
I think I prefer pancakes, too, just because it feels like I'm eating food and not mostly air. Mostly the absence of food in the pockets. But I would totally do peanut butter. I don't like butter on my pancakes. Like, if I'm already doing syrup, I don't need that slab of butter. That was a peanut butter.
I don't know. For some reason, I feel every time I have pancakes, when I do them with butter, I enjoy them better. Just because, obviously, butter. But I don't know. Peanut butter. I'm more of like a peanut butter on waffles kind of guy.
I've never done this before. This sounds disgusting, but might try it. I don't know. We've got two different people asking us this question. One from M8032 and someone Pablo Correa Jr. And I think maybe it's like the same account. I don't know. Should the Lions start looking for a new offensive coordinator?
I'm not happy with the job Jim Bob Cooter is doing, but I feel like there's a lot of other stuff happening right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's a scapegoat at the end of the year because he's not a Matt Patricia guy. He's not a Bob Quinn guy. But no, like, don't do it now. Don't blow up everything now. I don't want that.
On a related note to that, Logan Anderson also asking, do you think the lack of a good tight end is causing the red zone woes, or does the play calling just suck?
That's a tough question. Because initially, my first instinct is to say yes, but it's not like Eric Ebron was a red zone phenom when he was here. He wasn't. He only had, what, like 5-6 touchdowns in his career?
Yeah, he was much more. He was much more effective, kind of like in the midfield or so.
Right. I mean, you mentioned Anquan Boldin earlier in the podcast. He was really the red zone, the last red zone threat the Lions have really had. And I think a lot of people expected Michael Roberts to grow into that role, and maybe he will, but obviously the knee injury has kept him out the past 2 weeks.
Ryan, any thoughts?
What?
Okay, we're at that point in the podcast where Ryan has completely checked out. That is always a good sign.
Patty Mahomes is on my television, Chris. What am I supposed to do?
It is 8 o'clock Eastern. You still have half an hour before they kick off.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Sit there. You are not going to tell me you're going to want to sit there and listen to Trent Dilfer, whoever is on that Monday Night Football set talk.
Do the NFL equivalent of taking a cold shower and watch Mitchell Trubisky highlights.
Oh, gross. Okay, you've totally just killed the vibe, because I was at a point where I was breathing heavily. My heart rate was elevated.
We could hear it. You're breathing into your fucking microphone.
He's warming up, though. Okay.
Aaron Thompson, would you rather be responsible for taking care of 100 stray cats or be forced to rewatch the Monday night game against the Jets again?
I'm allergic to cats. And I would still do it.
I like cats. I'd probably do the cats. Stray cats, though, like, are they feral or are they just stray? I think it's a distinction I need to know.
How long do we have to watch them until, like, they die?
Probably for like the same amount of time as the Jets game.
Oh, I can do 3 hours of cats. That's fine.
All right. Underdog, do you think the Lions should have been the ones to trade for Khalil Mack?
No.
Because it would have kept him out of Chicago.
The Lions didn't have the cap room for it, and maybe they could have worked cap magic like the Rams seem to do, but I just didn't want him in Chicago, and part of me is like, yeah, why not, but it's just, I don't know, it's too much.
Trevor Parcella, does this loss kill any hopes for the playoffs this season?
Yeah.
I'll just let Ryan do it. Do the voice. Give it to me.
What's the voice?
Give me Jim Mora.
Playoffs?
Thank you. That's all I ask for. That's all I ever ask for. Clytus asking us, I am working my way through 2000s syndicated sci-fi shows. Gene Roddenberry's Earth Final Conflict or Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda?
I don't know what language you're speaking right now.
I was watching some of Andromeda. Andromeda is touch and go. It's a very weird and a very stupid show, but it's stupid in kind of that like really good, like sci-fi network kind of stupid. So I guess my answer to that is Andromeda. All I'll say is that Gene Roddenberry is like very overrated.
Speaking of weird and stupid and overrated, Jason Witten's on my television right now.
Dude, he characterized the game as like what was it, left wing? He was talking about referees or something.
Brain trauma to own the libs.
Oh my god. Okay.
Oh, Patty Mahomes highlights.
Ryan Collins at Shafty Bun Hack. What are the top three most disrespectful things that are still more respectful than Golden Tate scoring touchdowns? Hashtag pay the man.
Oh my god. Before we get into the answers, what is your take on him just absolutely pushing the taunting penalty to the absolute limit and somehow not getting a flag on both of his touchdowns?
I think I mentioned this before. Once again, people say like, hey, you've got to be more disciplined than that. I've talked with Golden Tate. He's told me straight to me, like his brain shuts off when he's playing football. Like his brain goes to a different place. When he did that thing when he was back in college, where like he caught a pass and then dove into the Michigan State band. Right. That was him basically on autopilot. He's not like he's showing off. It's just that that's just how he is.
Right.
So if you're asking him to be more disciplined, you're gonna lose.
Well, the odd thing is like he'll agree with the people say after the game. He'll say, "Oh yeah, I need to be more disciplined." Like I think he even said like, "I got to learn not to be a douchebag." Like that's his exact words, because he knows like if he misjudges the timing by a quarter of a second more in one of those plays, it gets stripped and the Lions turn the ball over in the end zone, and he knows that after the game. But I think you're right, like he's just in this crazy
zone. It's who he is. Like he can work on it all at once, but that's just who he is. He's in a zone, and you can't get him out of that. You don't want him out of that because he'll stop being Golden Tate.
True.
Any answers? I don't know what else is disrespectful.
I think Von Miller is about to shut down Patrick Mahomes for four quarters, and that's pretty disrespectful.
Wow. I'm not my managing editor.
What Jeremy just did is very disrespectful.
Very disrespectful. But we talked about this before. There's nothing more disrespectful than Aqib Talib taking Michael Crabtree's chain.
That is pretty good.
What about
Earl Thomas flipping the bird to the Seahawks for not giving him a long-term contract? Assuming that's what actually happened.
That's fine. That's absolutely fine. This has been the year of people being pissed off they're not getting paid. Like I keep telling people, this league is heading for some really nasty labor lockouts. Yep.
Lockout.
Because of these owners, they're not going to go on strike. The owners will lock them out. A lockout is owner initiated, but you can't sit here and tell me that the players have no right to protest. Like, just look at what's happening with some of these Steelers players too. Like, holy crap. Like some of these guys are getting starved out of contracts for that. And like, I get it. It's like boohoo, hard to be, you know, with millionaires and all, but like God, the owners are billionaires. So I don't know. Get what you can. Yeah. Get money.
Lockout. And we're not talking about your favorite Halo 2 map. All right.
That's
the nerdiest thing you've ever said.
It's a throwback. That's a deep cut.
I'm surprised you were old enough to remember Halo 2.
Oh, stop it. I was 3. Well,
there was a re-release probably last year or something.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
Okay. Let me see if I have any more questions here. We've got a few questions about the draft already. I think Jeremy still wants a moratorium on draft questions.
You can ask him, but I ain't answer him.
All right, fine. Andrew Gockel. What's the best fit for us in the draft? Rashawn Gary or Bosa?
I don't know. We don't have a pick yet. Relax.
At this point, you got to go Rashawn Gary, right? Because it just seems like the Bosa boys can't stay healthy.
Bosa, these nuts.
Both of the Bosa boys.
Both of Bosa.
You guys are terrible. Also, the correct answer. The correct answer is play dead Fred.
Yeah, I like it. I can't find the question anymore, and so like any question, any thoughts on the jerseys? Because like my friend John was texting with me during the game, and he's like, I can't believe they're allowing, you know, Detroit to play in these gray jerseys against the Cowboys. It's kind of hard to differentiate them. So I don't know. This is now year 2, 3 of these new jerseys.
Yeah, this is the third year. I hate them. I've always hated the All Gray. I know that makes me an old person, isn't in touch with the young people, but I hate the All Grays. It wasn't confusing on the TV it wasn't anything like that. But I just they're wearing pajamas out there. I don't like it.
Gray is just a bad color. Like the Pistons wear those like a gray jersey on Sunday on several Sundays too, and I hate those too. Like just like don't use gray in your jerseys. Ryan, come on here, man.
I don't have a feeling about it. I mean, it's fine. Like some people are like, oh, I mean, why are they, you know, why did the Lions make a pit stop and pick up Eastern Michigan's uniforms? like, whatever. I don't care. Like I just want my football team to be good.
It's true. It would be nice. On critical perspective, on a fun note, do you know the Lions haven't lost to the Raiders since 1996?
Sweet. I'm so glad that that's a thing.
Thank you for listening to the Pride Detroit POD cast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Our main theme was produced by Ryan Shepherd. You can find him on Twitter and on SoundCloud at I am Brian Shepherd. IamBrianSHEPARD. Thanks a lot to him. Check out his stuff. He's been great. He gave us Victory Monday. So go check him out. That's I am Brian Shepherd. And thank you for everyone who keeps listening and makes us one of the greatest Lions podcasts possible. Y'all are awesome. See you, Starside.